If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Move over, boys. It's time for She's on the Mic with Bethany Bowman on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome into She's on the Mic. I'm your host, Bethany Bowman. It is definitely March. So much basketball going on right now between Kansas State High School basketball tournament. Missouri is underway. They're really spread out. So we've had games going on for a few weeks now and championships next weekend, as well as Big 12 tournament. The women are kicking things off here tonight. The men are going to be playing next week. So just a lot going on around Kansas City. I love this time of year. Basketball is such a fun sport. I used to play, and I love watching now. Like I said, Big 12 Women's Basketball Tournament is kicking off this evening. Actually, as we speak, it's number 12 Texas Tech versus number 13 Houston in the first round matchup. That's at 5:30, so going on right now at T-Mobile Center. And then at 8 p.m., it will be number 11 Cincinnati versus number 14 Central Florida. We're going to get our local fix, though, with number 7, Kansas. The Jayhawk women taking on number 10, BYU, in game number 5. That's tomorrow, Friday, March 8th, and that'll be at 5:30 p.m. Get your tickets. Go support. We're also going to have number 3, Kansas State, on Saturday, March 9th, in the quarterfinals. That will be game 10. They're taking on the winner of game 6 at 8 p.m. The winner of game 6, that'll be either West Virginia versus... let's see here. The winner of game 2. So number 11, Cincinnati versus number 14, UCF. There could be 3 potential opponents for Kansas State in game number 10 on Saturday. Again, they're the 3 seed. Kansas State taking on the winner of game 6. That could be West Virginia, Cincinnati, or Central Florida. But we did hear from head KU coach Brandon Schneider this week as he previews the Big 12 tournament. Again, Kansas is going to be taking on BYU on Friday night at 5:30 p.m. T-Mobile Center. Let's hear what Brandon Schneider had to say. The Jayhawks have won 9 of their last 11 games. Let's see what Coach Schneider has to say about confidence heading into the Big 12 tournament.
I don't know that confident is the right word. I would say we were pretty confident a year ago. I think that our sense of urgency in everything that we're doing right now, whether it's in practice or a film session or a team meeting, is encouraging to me.
How different is you guys' preparation knowing you may have to play 2 or even 3 games in 4 days?
You know, I think we've been had to be pretty judicious with how we're practicing really this entire month. With our lack of depth, so we've tried to keep things pretty consistent, but obviously the day before Thursday will be fairly light, and then if you're fortunate enough to win, you're in a walkthrough preparation for the next game.
You mentioned that urgency, and I think it was Holly on Saturday that said, this is fun, senior day was fun, K-State at home was fun, but it's time to lock in now. How much of that urgency comes from that, like player-led stuff, and how valuable is that?
Well, I think it's extremely valuable. I think we have a group that recognized, we had a really, really hard schedule. In non-conference, but even to start league play. But they just recognized that, we were maybe on the verge of underachieving. And I don't know that anybody ever wants that label. So it was great to see, that group, really buy into some of the things that we had to do to turn things around.
We saw your statement yesterday about the All Big 12 stuff, but I wonder if you could elaborate, especially on Twin and Samaya Landon on that first team, what they did this season, what they meant, and why
they think. the first thing I would say is we need to expand the team. You know, we've especially when we go to 16 teams, you know, 15 players is not enough. So there were some good players, I think, left off. And I'm not talking specifically from our program, just in general. So I think that has to be part of a discussion in our spring meetings. You know, couldn't be prouder of Twin and just what she's accomplished here in her 3 years. I know that being named Defensive Player of the Year was a goal of hers since she's been here and you know, was on the team for three straight years, didn't quite get maybe the recognition that she wanted, but I'm still really proud of her. And I think that for a freshman to be first team all league is just an incredible accomplishment. And I know we have several freshmen that made the team, but I think it also speaks to how good. There's some terrific freshmen around the country. You talk about Juju and, you know, Hidalgo at Notre Dame and obviously Michaela at LSU. But I don't think there's a conference that has a better freshman class than the Big 12 from top to bottom. So to be named to the all-freshman team is a terrific honor, especially this year. But for Samaya to be named first team all league is something I hope she understands how special that is.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you that. Like, at what point do you recognize how significant this is in the history of this program, the season she's had? I mean, is that something you're going to have to get some distance from and then look back on it?
No, I think I'm witness. I mean, I'm there. I got a pretty good seat. I mean, the numbers would say, and Doug would know better than me, but the numbers would say probably one of the best three freshmen in the history of our program. You know, she's had a great year. But the thing that I respect so much about Samaya is she's humble enough to know that she's still got a lot of room to grow. And she's such a sponge. She wants to watch film. She wants to do individual skill work. I think she recognizes that, yes, I've had a really good year, but I got a lot of things I can still learn and a lot of things I can still improve on.
How have past experiences in the conference tournament, if at all, affected the way that you prepared the team this time around?
Well, we convinced the Big 12 to move it to a different venue. We've changed hotels. We're eating at a different restaurant. We've tried to change as much as we can to kind of get off, you know, the last 2 years in terms of how we've played.
And then just in terms of Twin going up against Gustin for a third time, you know, they each kind of came out on top in one of those matchups. What are your expectations in terms of a third time around for that battle?
You know, two of the best frontline players in the country, I think. I just hope that they're going against each other. I think that's the key thing for Kansas is Jackson needs to be in the game to be part of, you know, that matchup. Here she was, there she wasn't. So we'd like it to be head-to-head as much as possible.
Just in general, what's been your message to the team facing BYU for a third time? Obviously, you guys beat them twice, but it's tough to beat a team three times. What's been kind of your message going in this first game?
You know, it's actually pretty common, you know, at least for us in the past, because we play everybody twice, so you usually catch somebody a third time, I think. So no different than any other year. You can't, you know, just assume that the same things you did well are going to work. I think we've got to take what we did well and try to replicate it, but also see that there's things in the game that we can make adjustments and improve on.
Samaya mentioned how her career high against Oklahoma might lead to some harder defense as she goes forward in the postseason. How do you think the team itself, just how complete it's been, can account for maybe a game where she's not at the top like she was on Saturday?
I think the game in Provo is a perfect example. You know, Twin was out in foul trouble. Samaya did probably, you know, struggled as much as any game that she's played in here. But Holly and Yvette and Zakiya all stepped up and had really big games. So I think that's the thing that we're excited about with our team is, you know, we feel like there can be different people on different nights, even based on, you know, defensive coverages. And the good thing about Samai is if she does see a lot of traffic or double teams or whatever the ball screen coverage is, she's got the size and vision to make the right play.
Yeah, Brandon, you kind of talked about the location change. You get it into T-Mobile Center this year. What does that mean for the rapid growth of women's basketball, not only around the country, but also in the Big 12?
I mean, I think it's just doing the right thing. You know, I know that Municipal's a great place, and we've competed in there. I have many, many times. So, but I think as you go back to, you know, some of the inequities of the NCAA tournament in the COVID year in particular was when it was really brought to light. And I think both the NCAA and conferences are making every effort to, you know, to remedy some of those things. I don't think we're there yet, but I think there's greater effort being made.
That was Kansas women's basketball head coach Brandon Schneider as the Jayhawks get ready to play in the Big 12 tournament. Stay right here with us on She's on the Mic, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll be right back with more basketball coverage.
You're tuned in to She's on the Mic with Bethany Bowman on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back into She's on the Mic on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm your host, Bethany Bowman. And once again, it is March. We are talking a lot of basketball here tonight. One of my favorite sports and, of course, a lot of local teams playing in the state tournament, whether that be Missouri or Kansas. Tonight, we're going to have a deep dive into the Kansas side of things and specifically girls basketball. Several local teams have punched their ticket to the state tournament. And so I wanted to do a little update, check in on some of the first day and the quarterfinal matchups and kind of what's going on at the Kansas High School State Basketball Tournament. Let's talk a little girls high school state basketball. The state basketball tournament in Kansas is well underway. I'd like to bring onto the show now Brian Geary. Some of you might know him as Toto on the Sunflower Smack Show, but Brian, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's always good to talk girls high school basketball, especially this time of year.
Absolutely. Let's start off here with a team that got a win, a local team today here in Class 4A was Bishop Miege. They got a win over Labette County. Talk about, you know, what you liked out of that win, Brian, and looks like Bishop Miege well on their way to, you know, the semifinals now, and obviously they're the defending state champion in the class, so they're looking good.
Yeah, no surprise here. You changed the head coach to Coach Mike Allen, has been around forever, and yet Miege still rolls, and still a pretty young team at that. Mary Grant and Kirsten Verholtz and Faith McCallop all 15-plus points tonight. And I don't know if they even really played that long after a 35-point victory. So Miege rolls on. It's going to be a great matchup for them in their next game as well. So with Fort Scott. So be anxious to see how that game plays.
Yeah, and Fort Scott, a good win over Clearwater. And obviously Fort Scott, the 2 seed, Clearwater, the 7. I think Clearwater, you know, with a record of 15-7, though, they were probably a little better than their record shows. I know they've got a lot of good quality players, so Fort Scott did a great job getting that win.
Yeah, and Fort Scott trailed at halftime, actually, and Elizabeth Jaden over at Clearwater, an Emporia State signee, our commit, had a nice game, 20 points for them in her finale, but Fort Scott turned it on that second half and showed what they could do. Keegan Yark's a great player down there, and they will have their hands full, of course, with Bishop Miege, but it'll be a fun game to watch.
And then staying in Class 4A, we'll look at the rest of the bracket. Number 1 seed Wellington got a win over Andale. They won pretty single-handedly. And then McPherson got the win over Ottawa, also, I believe, a double-digit win. And they're the 4 seed, Ottawa the 5. Starting off with Wellington, Valerie Norwood and Britton Zika led the way for Wellington with 14 points each. They're looking pretty good, like a 1 seed for sure.
Yeah, they even got the younger Zika, Drew Zika, also got in there in double figures. Another really nice young player for Wellington. You know, Wellington's that team that's always, or the last, especially the last few years, has really been up there when they get the state time record-wise, and seem to get matched up with Miege early. This year, they would have to see them in the finals. But that's going to be a great game for them as well. Andale is a good team that they were able to beat. But, you know, this 4A group, you know, the top four have been the top four most of the year. And it's kind of playing out that way. As you saw, all the games today were, I think, 20 points or more, 1 through 4, winning them all.
And then, of course, McPherson, they are the defending state runner-up. They fell to Miege last season. They were led tonight on Wednesday night by Carter Alvord, a nice player there for McPherson.
Yeah, and, you know, Coach Strathman does a great job over there. And you know, they're a team that just is always there, too, you know, and they're going to have a great game with Wellington. McPherson's, you know, been a team that has played kind of a 5A and 6A schedule, actually, a lot this year. So trying to prep themselves, I think, even more for the 4A state tournament in similar fashion to how Miege does in EKL and get there. So it'll be interesting to see that McPherson-Wellington game coming up on I guess it's Friday night when they play again. So that'll be a great matchup.
We'll move on to girls class 6A. Of course, 5A will play tonight on Thursday night, and so we'll talk about those games maybe another time. It's hard to keep up, Brian, you know? Like, you look at these state schedules, and you're like, man, it doesn't seem like it's that many games, but when you take, you know, eight teams, every class, every game, it's like just crazy. You get on Twitter and it's your whole timeline is scores and it's very hard to keep up. But girls class 6A, first game of the day was Shawnee Mission South and Manhattan. Shawnee Mission South, the number one seed, Manhattan the eight. Manhattan actually led at the half, I believe 25-20. Shawnee Mission South, though, held Manhattan in the second half to just 10 points. The defense really turned it up, and the Lady Raiders go on to get the win. That was really nice for them, especially as the one seed. I know they've had trouble before at the state tournament, but they took care of business today.
Yeah, this group of seniors they've got, you know, Zai Funches headed to Oral Roberts. She went for 14, I think 7 and 7 today, and just kind of, you know, they struggled in the first half. Manhattan was on fire from three. I think they hit 6 threes in that first half. And you know, Shawnee Mission South, they're a senior-laden team that, like you mentioned, was a little bit upset last year in the first round, and a tough loss for them. And Cameron Smith is going to Missouri Western. And of course, Funches, who I mentioned, and you got Ashley Van Elders inside. Jocelyn Moore, who's going to Johnson County Community College. You got a group of kids that, despite, you know, having more basketball ahead of them, they weren't going to lose today. And they came out in that three-quarters press that they do and really took it to Manhattan. And Manhattan was, I think, over 8 in the second half and from three-point shooting. And give credit to Shawnee Mission South, you know, they stuck to their game plan. And that's just kind of how they play. They'll wear you down. A lot of their games are close through three-quarters. And Coach Western just kind of took the reins and just said, all right, let's just stick to the plan. And they did. And, you know, came away with what looked like a big win by 15. But I think if you paid attention to the game, it was a lot closer than that most of the game.
Yeah, definitely. Credit to Manhattan. And, you know, anything can happen at the state tournament. You definitely can't count anybody out. So sometimes when I see those halftime scores, I'm like, you know, is the better team, or, you know, at least on paper, are they going to pick it up? Or, you know, are we going to see an upset here? It's definitely interesting to watch each and every game. So that's a lot of fun.
You know, Manhattan was 12-10, you know, but they play, you know, Rural a couple times and a few, and they've played some tough games. They played in that McPherson tournament in January. You know, they played some tough games, so that record doesn't always indicate, despite being an 8 seed. So,
yeah, and I will vouch for that. I'm going to give some credit to Manhattan, who's in the Centennial League, because I played in the Centennial League in high school.
There you go.
At Emporia High School. Rural beat us all the time, I believe, and Manhattan quite a bit. But, you know, Emporia High Girls doing great. They're at the 5A state tournament, so I'm proud of them and proud to be an alum.
Well, that 5A tournament is the best one top to bottom, no doubt this year. I can't wait to watch those, but I digress. We'll get back to 6A. Sorry.
That's okay. I brought it up. Okay, so we'll move on to Shawnee Mission South going to be taking on Blue Valley North, the defending 6A state champion. And they got past Olathe South. Looking at some stats here, it was a 58-50 win. And Blue Valley North really kind of used a big third quarter to gain some momentum there. Blue Valley North jumped out to a 10-2 lead, and the Lady Falcons climbed their way back right on top before the break, 25-24. So defending state champions, kind of back against the wall. Ann Fritz, obviously legendary coach. She's going to be in the McDonald's All-American game. They found a way to get it done there in the second half.
Yeah, you know, late to South, that game was so back and forth, not just, you know, one or two points here, but it was 11-0 run here, a 10-2 run here. And, you know, Olathe South playing with, they had one of their senior guards, Adriana Tetley, back at home with an illness. And so I know she was not able to make the trip out there. And, you know, that allowed some of their younger players really stepped up. Hayden Halliday had a big game. That last name probably rings true with Olathe South and some Flower League fans, as her older sisters Avery and Reagan have both been through there. But she's now up there at 10 points in the first half. And Macy Price, another young guard for Olathe South, ended up with, I think, 14 points. And those two really filled the scores line with Olathe South. But, you know, Jaleah Davis is just the kind of player that says, get on my back, I'll bring it, I'll bring you all home. And she did that again. They made some big free throws down the wire. Ashley Alverson and her sister, Jaleah Davis' sister, Tyra, who's a senior, is ended up with 12 points, I think, which is probably, you know, 6 or 7 points above her average. So they stepped up. Aubrey Shaw is a great, you know, player that's going to go play at the next level as well. She had 9. And you know, Coach Fritz just, again, a little bit like Coach Western, kind of kept things, hey, let's just do what we know how to do. And Jaleah kind of pulled us through, and she did. And, again, free throws at the end of the game were big for them.
Absolutely. Moving on, we had Washburn Rural, the 7 seed. They're taking on number 2, Wichita Heights. Rural gets the 50-43 win.
Yeah, Rural, I know. You mentioned Centennial League. This is a team. I mean, is it really surprising that Washburn Rural just gets the state on a year where really they just kind of had Zoe Canfield coming back, and they lost Brooklyn DeLay and some of these other players from last year. And you're like, well, it's gonna be a tough year for them, and here they are, freshman Maddie Vickery, one of the top freshmen, if not in the Midwest, for sure in the state of Kansas, comes out her first trip out there and goes for 24 points and 9 rebounds. And on a night when, you know, let's be honest, Zoe struggled a little bit from the 3-point shooting, which is rare for her. That, you know, she's going to KU for a reason. She can shoot the rock. And you know, Maddie stepped up and hit some big shots. Wichita Heights, they went hard early on. It was a close game. But again, in the end, I think Vickery came out and shot 3 straight 3-pointers, you know, early in the second quarter, and kind of got Washburn Rural back in it. And anytime you got Coach Boardwick and, you know, Coke Arena together, and it seems to kind of match, doesn't it?
I was going to say, never count out a Coach Boardwick coach team. Legend there. Like I said, Centennial League, he was coaching when I was playing and winning a lot then. And, you know, with volleyball, he's won state titles there. So,
yeah,
just a great coach. I respect him a lot.
And one of those things I mentioned with Washburn Rural and all these teams, they all have kind of that star player, what you would call, or maybe two. But when they have a third player that really steps up, that's when you see this at state tournaments. And, you know, Kate Hink stepped up today at Washburn Rural. She gave Wichita Heights fits, and she didn't score a ton of points, but she really made a lot of difference for them. And I thought that they played really well for the type of team they are, where they don't go real deep on that bench, and we're able to withstand a Wichita Heights team that's crazy athletic and the number 2 seed for a reason. So
probably the game of the night was nightcap between Derby and Shawnee Mission Northwest, 3-seeded Derby, 6-seeded Shawnee Mission Northwest, and it was Derby with the 48-47 thriller win. Looks like Gabby Jackson got a look at the buzzer, but couldn't connect on it, unfortunately, for the Lady Cougars, and Derby moves on.
Yeah, you know, Derby hit a bucket with, I think, about 28 seconds left to take the one-point lead, and I think each team had the ball maybe two or three times at the end in that last 25 seconds and turned the ball over. And, you know, that those are things that happen when I got a little bit younger players on both these teams and maybe aren't used to the bigger stage yet and, you know, get caught up in the close games. And, you know, give credit to both teams. They played it down to the wire, and Shawnee Mission Northwest had been as hot as anybody in the state. You know, they'd won some big games against a lot of big teams, and Gabby Jackson's been as good a player as anybody here lately, especially in the Sunflower League. And, you know, she had another big night with 17 points, but couldn't quite get it to 20 on that last shot. That was a big one. But the Smiths, both Smiths from Derby, Destiny, and I'm drawing a blank on the second one. Both had great scoring nights for Derby, who only really, I think, had scoring for maybe four or five players. But it was enough, and, you know, it was a big game for Derby. That's a test, because I mentioned, I think, in our preview show that we had out, that they'd only played three 6A teams all year. And, you know, not that there's not good teams at the level, but it's just kind of hard to compare them to see kind of where they stood on equal footing, you know, with comparative teams. So this is a big win for them, and here's Derby and Washburn Rural again, two teams that seems like are there every year together. We're going to be playing against each other on Friday.
Yeah. Well, also, let's take a look at Class 2A, and I know we don't have any local teams really in this class, but if you look at the results, there was actually, looks like, three upsets.
All TS.
So actually, funny story for you, I'll share here with the fans and the listeners and you, Brian. I actually had a coach a couple years ago get a little upset with me on Twitter, just, you know, doing my thing, reporting a score. I called an 8 seed beating a 1 seed an upset. I said, you know, this team upset this team. And he was kind of a little mad. He said, our team thought we were going to win. It's not an upset when we knew we were going to win. Don't call it an upset. And I'm like, okay, but on paper, this is an upset.
Right.
You were the 8 seed. You beat the 1 seed. So, yes, I'm going to call these upsets. There are three of them. We'll start out. The number one went down. It was Wichita County falling to Valley Heights. It was a 52-35 win for Valley Heights.
You know, Wichita County was undefeated.
I know, 23-0. And I don't want to say that this can't happen in, you know, the bigger classes, 6-5, 4-A, but I think sometimes with the lower classes, there is such a difference at times in the enrollment and just, like, how spread out these schools are. So a team, you know, going 23-0 and getting that number one seed doesn't necessarily paint the picture, tell the story when it comes time for state seeding. But, you know, regardless, great job by Valley Heights getting this win. It's hard to go in as an 8 seed, especially just the confidence factor and, you know, playing the top seeded team. And it looks like they weren't scared at all, 52-35.
Yeah. Nope. I didn't get to see a ton of the game, but I do know that from a little bit of local flavor, and I'm drawing a total blank on her name right now. Olivia Torber sticks in my mind. Maybe it's Maggie Torber. Is headed to Benedictine next year. That was the star player for the upsetting team, if you will, Valley Heights.
Mm-hmm.
And she's headed to play at Benedictine next year. So we'll see her around here a little bit closer next year. But, yeah, good win. I mean, anytime anybody goes 23-0, I feel like you had a good season. And so that's kind of, I'm sure Wichita County is a little disappointed, but, you know,
Absolutely.
The way it goes sometimes.
And then it was number 4 seed Hoxie taking on Riverside. The 5 seed Riverside gets the win, 43-38.
Yep, and I know very little about either of these other than, again, Hoxie's kind of always there and only had, I believe, just one loss this year on the season. And, you know, that's, again, congrats to them. But, you know, you get down to 2A, like you said, the regional play really gets into there. But it was a good – that was probably the best matchup, I think, of 2A today.
Yeah, because then you have Pittsburgh St. Mary's Colgan, I'll call them Colgan, taking on Eureka. That was a 2-7, and the 2-seed Colgan takes care of business 66-50, the only team that didn't get upset in this class today.
Yeah, and Colgan, I mean, they're another one of those we talk about lately, rural and in Derby and some of those that are there. St. Mary's Colgan seems like one of those that's kind of there in their class here the last several years. And they've got a young lady leading them that's headed to play at Pitt State next year, and they'll have St. Mary's Colgan. I would be surprised if they were to get knocked off, but you know what? I've certainly been wrong today already, so good win for them.
And then lastly, Wichita Independent, they are the 6th seed. They take on Hillsboro, the 3 seed, and Independent gets the win 39-36. That one was pretty close.
Yeah, and Hillsboro, they had, I believe, 2,000-point scorers on their team. I mean, that was a team that is a scoring machine, and really, this one really kind of surprised me. Not so much that the Independent won, but just the low scoring nature of it. You know, the defense. Again, I did not watch the game, but certainly the. The low score surprised me with as much as Hillsboro scores. And again, anything can happen any night. That's why we play them, right?
Absolutely. And then today on Thursday, a lot of games going on. Again, some of these actually during the show are not final yet. They might be going on as we speak. So we'll just talk about the games that are being played on Thursday. And we'll just go through real quick. Class 3A is number 1 seed Silver Lake taking on number 8 seed Haven, number 4 Olathe Heritage Christian Academy. There's a local one for you. Taking on a team from not too far, the number 5 seed Topeka Hayden. And then number 2 Goodland, that's a team that's not close to us here in Kansas City. They're in a different time zone, out in the mountain time zone. They'll take on number 7 Girard out of southeast Kansas. And then 3 seed Heston taking on number 6 Cheney out of the Wichita area, kind of a Wichita area matchup. Which game out of these does one stick out to you, Brian, that might be a good one? Let's just talk about it.
Well, I'll tell you, that Heritage Christian freshman again, who they're playing, Heritage Christian and...
Yeah, they're playing Topeka Hayden.
Yeah, Topeka Hayden will be a great matchup. Topeka Hayden's got a couple of kids over there, Lauren Sandstrom, and they've also got another post on their team that I'm drawing a blank on her name. But they've got a really good program, and then there's a young lady that plays for Heritage Christian. Again, I don't even want to risk blowing her name how she pronounces it, but she could play anywhere, and she is being recruited all over the place. That plays for them, and that'll be a good matchup to see how they play out. But I think that's probably the top game tomorrow out of there. But you look at Goodland versus Girard, is there a two teams farther apart from each other playing tomorrow?
No kidding.
But Goodland's always another one of those teams that's always there, where they've won state championship 2 years in a row in that class, and certainly another chance this year. But I think that Heritage Christian Hayden game will be an outstanding game if you want to watch 1 and 3A tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Or today, I guess it is.
Yeah, Thursday. I know. Hard to keep the day straight, for
yes.
Sure. Girls Class 5A, I know we talked a little bit about that a bit ago. You said that's probably the bracket of the tournament on the girls' side.
There is no doubt. This group, I mean, we've watched this. We kind of coordinate a lot of the rankings in our area. And 5A is one of those ones that every week you could pick anybody. You look at a team like Aquinas that I think has maybe 6 losses this year, but, they play, obviously, through the EKL. They play a pretty tough out-of-state schedule even. I mean, so they're down there like maybe a 6th seed this year. And, there's just a great group of anybody in this group. I would Blue Valley Southwest is the 8th seed, and they're not going to be afraid of Andover, who's the 1 seed. Andover's got 2 D1 players, Brooke Walker, who's going to Utah, being the star of them. And, Blue Valley Southwest has seen Blue Valley North, Blue Valley High, twice. They've played Aquinas.
Mm-hmm.
They, I mean, So they're the eighth seed. You know, they'll have a great record, but they're not going to be intimidated by an undefeated Andover team. So I think that 1-8 is just going to be an outstanding, outstanding matchup all the way through to the finals. Out of any of the classes, I think 5A's definitely got the best tournament. So if you're making your way to Emporia, that's the place to be probably.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Andover 22-0 for the number one seed. Like you said, Blue Valley Southwest 12-10, but I mean, just like anything, volleyball, football, basketball, anybody in the EKL, you're going to have some losses on your record.
Yeah.
This league is just way too tough to go unblemished through. Then the number four seed, Topeka Seaman, 20-2, and you get a four seed. You've lost
four seed.
Two
I
games,
know. Champions of the United Kansas Conference, and they're four seed.
Absolutely. And then number five seed DeSoto, 19-3. They've had a great year. I got to see them play once this year, and they look really good. Number two, Mays South High School, 21-1. You lose one game, and you're not even the one seed. That's hard to believe. And then seven, like you mentioned, St. Thomas Aquinas, 16-6. So six losses on their record. But again, you know, they're going to have those losses when you play the schedule you do up here. Number three, Emporia High School. There you go, 21-1, and you're the three seed. That's crazy to me. And they'll take on Bishop Carroll, the six seed, 19-3, and a six seed. Just loaded. No.
Exactly. I mean, it's just a crazy group. Emporia, I think I read their one loss was maybe late December.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I mean, that was their last loss, and it's not like they're playing a bunch of, you know, podunks. You know, they have rolled through. They've played some good teams this year. You know, so that's going to be a great matchup. Bishop Carroll, you know, they won the Newton tournament this year, which had Shawnee Mission Northwest and St. James and Olathe Northwest all at that tournament. And so, I mean, they're no slouch there. I mean, you look at, we talked about Aquinas a little bit. Mays South, again, you mentioned one loss at 5A level is a lot. They're the one that's probably it'll be interesting to see how they play. They've probably played the weakest schedule of these top teams, just by where they're, I think, a little bit at. But regardless, I think it's going to be a great matchup with Aquinas, who's still pretty young. Jemiah McPherson and Kelsey Shank and Alex Krause, all great players, but they've got some good freshmen at Aquinas this year, as seemingly they always do. But Seaman and DeSoto, they've played twice already this year. You know, and Seaman's beaten them both times. It's tough to beat anybody three times, right?
Yeah.
And so that'll be an interesting one to see as well, to see if DeSoto can get that that on that third one. So, I mean, these are all great games that, you know, if you want to, like I said, if you want to go see some great girls basketball and see some kids that are going to play at the next level and on, it's trip down to Emporia is in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, and for Kansas City, you know, people, it's actually like the closest trip.
Absolutely,
That's crazy to me. I'm always like, why don't we have a state tournament here in Kansas City? It's like, you know, the largest city, but we don't have one here. But, you know, I think the sites that they do have for the Kansas State High School basketball tournament are great. You know, it takes a lot of people. It takes a village to put these things on, and they're always, you know, ran really well.
Yeah, and the community's just, really rallied around them. They treat, you know, all the players. I mean, my daughter had the opportunity to go play in Wichita and in Newton and some of these other places. I've been to McPherson and for tournaments, and we've all been all over the place. And it's fun to go and represent your school all over the place. And again, most of the schools in Kansas City, you know, don't play far away from Kansas City because most of their schools are here. So when they do get to travel and do that, I know that's looked upon as a fun thing for them as well. So I think, like you mentioned, having them around the state is still a great idea. And despite for the media, it's hard to get everywhere and catch all these great games.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I don't want to leave out the girls class 1A division 1 and 1A division 2. You know, I will admit that, you know, like you said earlier on one of the lower classes, I probably don't know quite as much. And that's just human nature. I mean, we're around Kansas City here. We've seen more of the local teams play and they're in the larger classes. But, you know, obviously really excited for these teams, too. And it's amazing to me how much these smaller communities support. Sometimes you'll go to these games and, man, it's like the whole town shows up for these teams. So I know a lot of these communities are really excited for these girls that have made it to the state tournament. Let's start out with girls class 1A Division 1. Little River, 23-0. That town is a sports town. Those girls have won basketball and volleyball championships, and they are just great. And then you look at actually the 8th seed, Olpe High School, 10 miles down the road from where I grew up in Emporia, so I know all about Olpe. And, you know, Jesse Nelson, one of the winningest coaches in girls basketball history. Mm-hmm. He's now retired, but he's actually a very good friend of my parents. I've grown up around him. Did an awesome job. Now Ron Slaymaker takes over for him, a former Emporia State men's basketball coach. And you know, that first year that Ron took over, he had some struggles, and I don't know if maybe he thought, should I have taken this job, you know, especially after a guy like Jesse. But Ron has done a great job, and look at Olpe right back in. They're going to have a tough test with Little River, but this is two very storied programs taking each other on in this first round.
Absolutely. You know, we've talked about a few of these teams, and Olpe is one of those teams that we mentioned, kind of like we did with Rural and Derby at 6A. It's kind of always there, you know, and that's how you love to see that in these smaller schools, you know, big sister or big brother, somebody played for their school, and you just represent your school, and you know, your community's going to rally around you as well, and all that, and Olpe's like that, I feel like. But you're right, Little River this year has a great group of female athletes that tend to be multi-sports, and so we've seen that certainly with Little River this year.
And then number 4 seed Norwich taking on 5 Centralia, 21-1 versus 21-2. So there's two teams that have won a lot. That will be a great matchup. You look at then the 2 seed South Gray, 22-1, and Atwood Rollins County, 19-4. And then lastly, the 3 seed St. John Hudson, 22-1, and taking on the 6 seed Frankfort, 20-3. So a lot of wins between all these teams. They haven't done a lot of losing this year.
Yeah, no, we on our state preview show, we had we have a player on here or there from different parts of the day. We had Sadie Spray on, who's a 1,000-point scorer from Great Bend, and she loved talking about some of these towns that aren't far from where she's at, and you know, just the community love and just a player here, a player there. That's kind of all it takes sometimes with any school really, but especially at the smaller schools, if you've got a player that's, you know, a great athlete and loves to score, you're going to do well. And I think there's several of these teams that, again, I don't know the names of all of them, but certainly winning has been a big thing for the teams that made it through at this level.
And then if you want to get even smaller, we're going to go to 1A Division 2. Number 1 seed South Haven, 21-2, taking on the 8 seed Northern Valley. They are 12-11. Number 4 seed Buckland, 20-3, taking on the 5 seed Hanover, 20-4. There's another town that historically very good female athletes, winning a lot of volleyball, excelling in basketball, track. So I'm excited to see how that game goes. Number 2, Lebo, they've also won some state volleyball championships here lately. Excelled in basketball, 21-2. They're taking on Meredithine Valley, 14-9, as the 7 seed. And then number 3 seed, Sharon Springs Wallace County High School, 20-3. And then number 6 seed, Beloit St. John's Tipton, will be their matchup. They're 16-5. Any games stand out to you on this bracket?
You know what? This is kind of funny you ask that. I've talked to a lot of coaches and media folks around, and everybody tells me if they were to bet on one team to win their class this year, they tell me that Lebo's the team. I guess they've got a pretty good group of kids, and I think their 2 losses are to teams that are in like maybe 3 and 4A, but they've beaten everybody else by crazy spread or something. I don't remember the number, but Lebo is a team I evidently to watch. Now, I hate to – I'm a total superstitious guy, so if they get beat in the first round, I'm going to feel terrible. But that has been what I've been told, that Lebo is the team to watch. So take it for what it's worth, I guess.
For sure. Yeah, and they won the state volleyball championship just this past fall. Mm-hmm. So they're used to winning. I think especially, you know, that championship culture, it's interesting to see the – you know, just – way that winning like a volleyball, and of course, you know, you have talented girls, you have athletic girls, that's going to help. But I think sometimes, you know, you win one and it's definitely kind of a domino effect.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we talk a lot about multi-sport athletes, and you see it so much in these smaller communities where, you know, I think somebody mentioned Northern Valley, who's maybe the eighth seed here. They've got 7 kids in their whole team. And they probably play volleyball, and they're probably part of the 4x1 and 4x4 team on the track coming up in the spring, and, you know, all that stuff. And you build up that camaraderie, you build up that, hey, I want to do this for the name of my, across my chest right here, you know, and that's, you know, not always the case at some of the bigger schools, I feel like. And so I think it's awesome that some of these schools have already won volleyball championships, looking to win a basketball championship, and shoot, before they can even begin celebrating, they've got their first track meet coming up, or softball game or whatever. But probably not softball, because they might not have enough to field a team, but, you know.
Yeah, unfortunately for me, never won a state volleyball championship. I guess that did trickle over to basketball, because I never won a state basketball championship either.
But you competed at that level.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. So I'm just really excited for, you know, these girls. I know that was always kind of a dream of mine, was to be able to go to, you know, the state tournament. And so I think these athletes are very lucky. You know, it's kind of rare to get a good enough team together, a good enough group of girls, especially for some of these smaller communities, to you know, put together a good enough run and make it to the state tournament. So,
you know, staying healthy, you know, you got 7 players in your team, and you get an illness that comes through, or somebody sprains an ankle, and all of a sudden you're really down, you know.
Absolutely. Yes. So yeah, just really excited for everyone that gets to compete this week. And of course, we've got boys action going on as well. I know we were talking girls here tonight, Brian, but there was several great games on the first day in boys action too. So yeah, just highly encourage everybody to get online and check out the scores. There's, you know, recaps everywhere. You know, 8-10 varsity, Sunflower, Smack, you know, we've got coverage everywhere. So just tune into the high school coverage. It's a lot of fun, and I'm sure you'll see something great if you tune in.
Yeah, and I'd even add in there 8-10 varsity or Sunflower Smack Show or whatever. If you see a great play or see something cool happening, you know, and you happen to catch it on a picture or on video or something, you know, put it out there and tag 8-10 varsity and Keisha and Sunflower Smack Show and all those things, because we love to share that kind of stuff. You know, we mentioned there's so many good games going on. We can only be in so many places at once. So, yeah, we'd love to see all the celebratory types of things or last-second shots. So, great time of year.
Absolutely. Well, Brian, thank you so much. I appreciate your insight and just all the work you do in coverage for high school sports. It's so important, and I appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you for all you do as well. And yeah, get out, and as my partner on the show, The Oz, says, get out. See you in the gym.
Thank you. We'll see you later.
Thank you.
That was Brian Geary of Sunflower Smack Show talking girls basketball here in the state of Kansas. The Kansas High School State Basketball Tournament well underway on day 2. Tomorrow will be the semifinals. Saturday, the state titles. Good luck. Best of luck to all the teams competing, and a big good luck to KU and K-State in the women's and men's Big 12 tournament this week and next. That's it for tonight's edition of She's on the Mic. I'm going to hand it over to Sterling Holmes, who has you covered with the home stretch next here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.